Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you in this morning to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben in Greenville this morning. It's a chilly 30 degrees, and we're only going to get up to about 49 degrees here in Greenville today. So if you're just getting ready to go to work, you might want to grab a light coat, because it's going to be a little bit cool this morning. Going to have clear skies today, a few high clouds looks like, but nothing more than that. So it should be a nice, lovely day, although cool, on the cool side. Just in case you happen to be listening to the recorded broadcast, I'm going to make a special announcement for this show only. I am going to be out of town for the next 7 days until Friday the 18th. I'll be back on the morning show, on the Christian Worldview show, on March the 18th. So if you're listening to the recorded broadcast and you're wondering why in the world you've been listening to the same broadcast for several days in a row, it's because the last updated recorded broadcast would be on March the 9th. There probably will not be any recorded broadcast uploaded to the webpage, at any rate, until March 18th. So don't despair. The recorded broadcast will come back as soon as the Tyranny Response Unit is back on the air regularly and uploading to the webpage the daily broadcast. Again, we welcome you, or we thank you so much for listening to Christian Worldview. If you are listening to the recorded broadcast, we know we have several people listening in California, Missouri, Texas, Maine, Ohio, Florida, and so forth. We're glad that you do so, and we want to encourage you to tell others to do so by going to www.policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. And from there, you can go down and select today's broadcast or yesterday's broadcast or the broadcast 2 days ago, or the special broadcast back in January on Romans 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2, and listen to those at your convenience in your own media player or real player, whatever you use to play sound files. So please encourage others to do that, to go to the webpage and listen to the recorded broadcast wherever they are, or they can listen live to the webcast anywhere in the world or anywhere, certainly in the United States, 7:30 to 9 Eastern time. You can call the show and participate either by, again, calling 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or your questions and comments may be received by email 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. So we'd encourage you to participate in the show if you're listening to the recorded broadcast, or if you're listening over the internet through the webcast live. If you're, again, during the live period, 7:39, go ahead and call the show if you're interested in talking with me, the Tyranny Response Unit, about any topics of interest in that day's show. Or if you're listening to the recorded show, or even otherwise, even live, you can send an email and we'll be happy to receive it and read it on the air and discuss what you have to say, what's on your mind. Well, we have a number of interesting things going on in the Tyranny Response Network and on Christian Worldview. As usual, we usually end up with a number of interesting stories and things to discuss on a daily basis. I've been working on an article that I just wanted to mention to you. In fact, I'll probably try to get to a bit of it today on the broadcast, on Christian views on rebellion. As I was sitting in church last Sunday, I heard the preacher say, "Rebellion against authority is rebellion against God." And this preacher, of course, is a modern-day Tory, one who would have been, I think, during the American Revolution, or really the correct way, that I would look at it, the American War for Independence, he would have been a Tory. He would have been the one who said, fighting against King George is wrong, it's sin, Christians should be showing their allegiance to their king. This preacher said right from the pulpit, rebellion against authority is rebellion against God, plain and simple. Another pastor once told me, if it's illegal, it's immoral. And that's really an interesting combination of ideas. Basically, anything the government comes up with that it claims is illegal becomes sinful for you to do. In fact, I think that's how he put it. If it's illegal, it's sinful. Now, he would make certain exceptions to that rule. If it's illegal and it's goes against God's clearly revealed will, if he tells you to it's illegal to not to go to go, not protest in front of abortion clinics, or if it's illegal to keep your kids in homeschool, well, somebody might rebel against that. But for the most part, this preacher said, basically, if the government makes a rule, legislates something, you've got to obey it, and if you don't, you're sinning. Interesting theology there. I don't know how he quite draws the line exactly, but it is a commonly held view. And then, of course, we had Juliet call not too long ago, and basically she said, once a proposal becomes the law, a Christian must obey it, implying that any disobedience is sin. So taking those three premises, I've been working on a few different articles in a series I'm going to do for the Times Examiner column that I write on a weekly basis, as well as the one that's going into Free Market News Network down in Florida and elsewhere, that has to deal with Christians and rebellion. It has to do with the American Revolution, the Bible, and what it has to say about rebellion against authority, and things are very important for folks who are Christians. Even those who are not Christians would be interested in knowing the theory of it. We know we have a number of you listening to this show, Christian Worldview, who are not Christians, that don't espouse the Christian faith, yet love to listen to this program because we're different, because we promote liberty here, we promote the vision of the Founding Fathers. We are not simply neoconservatives piping some babble that came down from some academic post of the left, or of the near left in the neoconservative movement. So we're a different kind of program, and you like to enjoy listening to us, and we're glad to have you here. And this particular article on Christian Views and Rebellion, actually a series of articles, would be of interest. Now, it's on the webpage at policyofliberty.net. You can go to policyofliberty.net and click the link that says Articles and Papers. And when you go there, you'll pull up all my Times Examiner columns, as well as any other academic papers I've written, and you'll be able to peruse them at your leisure. Also want to give a plug this morning for our good friend Bob Dill over at the Times Examiner. At the Times Examiner, it's at 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville, South Carolina. But you can reach Bob Dill by calling 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. And call Bob Dill or Laverl and ask them to set you up with a subscription to the Times Examiner so you can read the Tyranny Response Unit, that's me, Dr. John Coben, every week in my column there, as well as great columnists like Walter Williams, Joe Sobrin, Thomas Sowell, Phyllis Schlafly, Charlie Reese, and many others, Marvin Olasky, for instance, and newcomer Stephen Yates, my good friend Stephen Yates, a philosophy PhD who teaches at University of South Carolina upstate and is a Christian libertarian. Good man. Anyway, all those columnists are available to you for just $20 a year. What a bargain. I don't know how they can even afford to mail it. If they mail it out of state, they charge you a whopping $22 a year. And I believe that price is rising by $5 as of April 1st. So I would encourage you all to subscribe to the Times Examiner if you don't already do so. Again, you can pick up a copy directly at 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville, or you can call 864-268-0576 and talk to Bob Dill or Laverl. Get on the bandwagon here, folks, with the truth by reading good stuff. Now, it doesn't mean everything in the Times Examiner, by the way, is good stuff. There's some neocons in there and some folks that are definitely left-leaning or definitely aren't as consistent as I think they should be, at least. But I also know that in that periodical, you have plenty of great writers from the true conservative or a libertarian perspective. So we'd encourage you to pick up a copy of that. Anyway, we've got several other things on the agenda besides the Christian views on rebellion this morning. We're going to be talking a little bit about economics, it looks like, a bit more about our favorite whipping boy, which is the public school, the government school, the indoctrination center of the left. We'll be talking a bit about that because I continue to read Bruce Short's book, The Harsh Truth About Public Schools. What a great book. Encourage you all to get a copy of that. Also encourage you all to get a copy of my book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. Again, available at the website. When you initially go into the website, you'll see Alertness Books blinking at the top. Click on that link, and you'll show all the different books that and little booklets that we provide here. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. And Chapter 6 is my critique of the public school. That should be read alongside with Bruce Short's magnum opus, just an excellent, tremendous work discrediting, or actually just showing what the public school is all about. So I encourage you to go there and pick up a copy of that. Download version, $3.95. Paperback copy is $10.95. Well worth the read. Well, we're coming up to a quick break here on Christian Worldview. You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, and this is Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview, and we'll be right back.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions."
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we do welcome you back to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben, trying to provide more of that roughage for your brain this morning. Remember, the Christian Worldview program is unlike other programs because it's going to challenge you to think. Yes, this might be one of the only radio station talk shows you listen to that actually make you a little bit more weary mentally every day, because instead of filling you with fluff and trying to float you along and appease you that all is well in the land of the free and the home of the knave, we are a show that tries to expose tyranny, to show you what's really going on around you so that you can stand up and not be so gullible as a Christian or even as just the one who loves liberty and stand up against the fraud, against the tyranny that so often plagues our nation today by at the hand of the bureaucrats and the powers to be. We appreciate people listening to the show, and we like to just encourage those who to write in to that we are receiving your mails. And this morning, I'd like to just let you know that I've got a letter from Rippin' Richie. And he said, "Last week I moved back to South Carolina after being stranded up north for about 7 years. Ooh, terrible thing to have to happen to you, especially if it's because of the cold weather. But not only that, but because all those Yankees are up there, right? Just heard your radio show in the car. I'm a conservative homeschooling father, but I'm also a heavy metal musician." I'm not sure if that means he has to carry around extra change in his pockets or what. I don't know. At any rate, that has some musical implication. My production staff might know something about that. Remember, I'm one of those guys that just kind of likes to listen to the people pluck the strings on the violins and so forth. I'm not much more for the rock and roll culture. I assume that's what he's talking about. Anyway, he says he's a heavy metal musician and a professional break dancer. I don't have any idea what that is, and that maybe I don't want to know. At any rate, you would probably appreciate this this bit I did a few years ago when I was in radio. It's an interview with James Madison and on the Time Phone, and I did listen to it. It's a very good little piece where some modern radio announcer is interviewing James Madison, talking about the welfare state, the public school, and other things that are going on. Great stuff. But anyway, appreciate the letter, Richard. Glad you're listening, and hope you'll encourage other people to listen as well. to the Tyranny Response Network. We also have an announcement this morning from the Libertarian Party. He says, this is from the chairman, Lee Ott, in Greenville. He says, fellow Libertarian, you're invited to attend the monthly business meeting of the Greenville County Libertarian Party and the Upstate Libertarian Society this Thursday, March 10th, 2005. I suppose that's tomorrow night, from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Prime Sirloin restaurant on Woodruff Road in Greenville, South Carolina. We hope to see you there. And let's go ahead and give a good turnout. If you're interested in libertarian politics or just love freedom, it's a good group to go and meet. We like to give the public service announcements for all of these kinds of groups who are fighting for the truth and for liberty. If you have a chance to go down and meet these people, please do so. Make sure you say hello to Lee Ott and say hello to Chuck and some of the other libertarians. We know they're going to be there. And it's oftentimes a small meeting, but if we get a good turnout from our listeners here at the Christian Worldview program, I think it'll make it a great business meeting for them. So go ahead and try to attend March 10th. That's tomorrow night, 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Prime Sirloin Restaurant on Woodruff Road in Greenville, South Carolina. Also want to thank our friends at the Carolina Patriots who have turned up great support for us, both morally and prayerfully and financially at from time to time. The Greenville Patriots meet on Woodruff Road, also at the Prime Sirloin Restaurant, the first Saturday of the month at from about noon or 1 o'clock, I believe, till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Last night, some of our production staff visited the Asheville Club of the Patriots. I guess they're not called Carolina. Maybe they are called Carolina Patriots in Asheville also. I don't know if they are everywhere. But there's several of these clubs around. A number of them are supporters of TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, as well as our show here, Christian Worldview. We thank you for your support. Just wanted to let you know that we are very, very pleased that you're backing us as much as you are. If you'd like to learn how to support Christian Worldview and the Tyranny Response Network, please go to policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net, and scroll down a little ways to find out how you can support TRN. There's some links there, some places you can send email to production staff and others, and they'll put you in the right direction on how you can actually send a small contribution to support this great radio ministry. Some people have already been sending small monthly checks in, $10 and $20 and so forth. This is greatly appreciated. Believe me, folks, it adds up. Don't think that your part will go unnoticed in our great effort to spread the truth around around our area here in Greenville and across the nation. We're hoping to really grow, folks, and we have coming on board with us some very enthusiastic members of the Christian Exodus Movement. I received another message from the president of the Christian Exodus Movement, Corey Burnell, and he says, "Hi, John. I was just wondering to myself if you'd be willing to announce on your radio show," and I guess I am since I'm reading it, Corey, "when we have members that are looking for work in certain industries. What came to mind is that one of our members has sold his house in Omaha, I assume that's Nebraska, and is now looking for employment in South Carolina. It might help our people relocate if they could send you your resume and you simply read some of their qualifications over the air anonymously and ask listeners who know of a job that would fit this person to contact Christian Exodus at jobs@christianexodus.org. So that email address again is jobs@christianexodus.org. Well, Corey, we are always willing and interested in helping the Christian Exodus movement. Ever since we read about you folks several months ago, and I was on another network, an inferior network, by the way, at the time, than the Tyranny Response Network, we've been interested in Christian Exodus. Now, for those listeners who don't know what Christian Exodus is all about, this is a movement, a consolidative movement of truly right-wing, true conservative, paleo-conservative, pro-life libertarian people who are planning to move to South Carolina County, specifically Greenville County at first and Dorchester County near Charleston, South Carolina, and eventually to the other upstate counties in South Carolina and Lexington County near Columbia, the state capital, with the intention of trying to influence politics and trying to bring the Christian worldview and the understanding about liberty and promoting the idea and the vision of the Founding Fathers to bear in South Carolina, county by county. They believe they have a good base of operations here already with the kinds of people we have and the kind of culture we have in South Carolina, and they're choosing to move here from all over the United States. Just met a family recently who came down in the last week or two from Pennsylvania, has just moved his business down here and has already set up shop. And this, apparently this other person is ready to move from Omaha, Nebraska. Christian Exodus expects 2,000 families in the next 12 months to be completely relocated from where they are now to South Carolina, specifically Greenville and Dorchester counties, and eventually other counties in the upstate and Lexington around Kentucky, Columbia, Kentucky. It reminds me of that joke. Do you folks know how to pronounce the capital of Kentucky? Is it pronounced Louisville or Louisville? Tick-tock, tick-tock. What do you say, Louisville or Louisville? No. It's Frankfurt, folks. Didn't you know that? Every kid knows that, right? Like, my daughter's been telling that joke for months now. At any rate, stumped me, have to admit. Don't remember all the state capitals like I used to, but she sure does. Why? Because she's a homeschooled kid. Bet you can't find too many public school kids that know much of anything. That's of any use, at any rate. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the public school. We don't really just talk about the public school. We just bash it, and we're not ashamed about that fact because we realize our great enemy at the public school, and we oppose it. But anyway, we'll be back in a minute on Christian Worldview. You're listening to, on the Tyranny Response Network. Glad that you are. Be right back.
Stream Media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And speaking of smashing liberals, a poll showing in CBS News.com this morning that Senator Hillary Clinton is gaining support. A growing number of registered voters believe Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton should run for president in 2008, according to a poll released Tuesday. Boy, we'd just really be surprised if Hillary Clinton ran for president, wouldn't we? What a sad day for America when she's finally elected. Although, at least it will probably incite some people to realize, hey, look, things are going down the drain here faster than we thought. Although, folks, I don't know. There are so many paleo-conservatives and right-wing or pro-life libertarians who already see this. I wonder who's left to come over to our side sometimes. It takes a lot of education, but it works. I've heard many people come up to me who have met me in person saying, I've been listening to Christian Worldview, and I was a liberal. I was sending my kids to the public school. I was doing this, that, or the other. I was taking Social Security. I was part of the welfare state, blah, 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 and now I'm not. So it's encouraging that some people are getting the message and that there is some change. There always is hope, folks, because, after all, this is Christian Worldview. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is sovereign over all the affairs of men, and he can take the most miry, wicked, bad generation and turn it around for the truth. And we're hoping that God is going to be pleased to shine again, once again, on the American nation and turn us back towards the principles that our founders stood for. It'd be a great day if it really happens. At the moment, the wicked are indeed running things, and it's a very tragic. It seems very tragic. At any rate, Hillary back in the news, folks. For those of you who like to follow the Hillary news, we always do, of course. Here, we're always interested to hear what she's up to. We also have a couple other things that have come up in the news lately. One in particular is that the minimum wage law, promoted by a revision to boost it by $2.10 by Edward Kennedy, the great liberal senator from Massachusetts, bloated. Well, at any rate, I won't make any personal comments about old Ted. And we'd also like to say, that's because I'm kind. Christians are supposed to be kind, and I'm going to try to practice that. Although it's tempting at times to blow my top and just go all out against people like Ted Kennedy. At any rate, the production staff is just cheering here. We have a peanut gallery here at the Tyranny Response Network this morning for Christian Worldview. Appreciate the peanut gallery. At any rate, the Republicans tried to promote a different bill, raising the minimum wage by $1.10. Both bills failed. Why is this good, by the way, from an economic point of view? I hope you think that it's good. Some students would be sitting there thinking, no, I could get a raise. The government could force these employers to pay me more out of their profits. Doesn't work that way, folks. All the minimum wage does is cause greater unemployment in the economy. That's all it does. There's nothing beneficial about a minimum wage law or legislation whatsoever. Think about it just in the abstract for a minute. And this is, again, even a homeschooled student of 10 should be able to understand this, or 12. Imagine if we all just wanted to make ourselves rich, and so we got Ted Kennedy to say, instead of boosting the minimum wage $2 an hour, let's go ahead and boost it up about $250 an hour. Let's make sure everybody makes at least $250 an hour. And you pass some legislation that says that. What do you suppose would happen if your boss, instead of paying you what he pays you now, had to pay you $250 an hour or more? Do you suppose you would still be working there tomorrow? Or do you suppose you would see the unemployment line? Folks, I'm telling you, it should be obvious to you. You'd see the unemployment line. Your boss has not got just a bunch of profits. He's just holding off on the side and would be willing to pay you more if he were just forced to. This is a Marxian concept that the exploiters have taken advantage of the laborers, and because of their exploitation, the laborer does not get paid all that he's worth. Well, folks, if you raise the minimum wage up high enough, you'll just unemploy everyone. This is how this is a foible, not foible, that's a foible, but a fallacy of the modern left and even of the old left. You cannot boost wages and income and spending by simply raising the minimum wage by legislation. It doesn't work. Well, there are other things too that come up into public policy as a matter of so-called positive right. This issue of Marxism does not just stop with the ridiculous minimum wage rules. And we should be, as Christians, opposed to minimum wages. It's simple enough to see the fallacy of it. It doesn't work. And so if you're tempted as a Christian to say, I want them to boost my salary by the minimum wage, just remember that all you're doing is causing unemployment and making everything worse off. Don't support it. Well, we'd like to read questions out of the Economic Way of Thinking by Paul Hain. As many of you know, I teach I help homeschool six children, and especially the older students come under my supervision for their high school college years. And we have been working through The Economic Way of Thinking by Paul Hain. Excellent mainstream textbook. I appreciate Austrian economics the most, but as far as mainstream textbooks go, this has got to be the best one I've seen. If you're interested in studying economics, you might want to pick up a copy of Paul Hain's book, The Economic Way of Thinking. And at the end of each chapter, there are often some very interesting questions and thought-provoking that relate public policy to economics. At the end of chapter 2, question 3 says, the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution of the United States, says nothing about the right to housing. Some have nonetheless argued that housing is a more fundamental and important right than the rights now protected by the First Amendment, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, of the press, and of political assembly. Would you be in favor of adding a right to housing in the Bill of Rights? Defend your answer. Great thought question, isn't it? What about the Bill of Rights is so often belittled nowadays, it seems, by many people. Many people don't even know what they are, what they say, because they've been to the public school too long, or, well, the public school has just pulled it out of their brain or hasn't put it in, one of the two. But at any rate, the Bill of Rights give us special protections from the state and its tyrannies that over us. But why won't we want to add in there a right to housing? After all, people need a place to live. And instead of just a right to housing, we could even expand it, a right to housing at a reasonable cost, set some rent control, for instance. Well, it's the same principle works here with rent control or rights to housing as there is to a right to a livable wage or a right to a minimum wage or setting a minimum wage by legislation. These kinds of intrusions by the state through public policy into the economic or market system only cause distortions. They'll cause dilapidation of the housing that's available to us, and they will cause a shortage, a government-sponsored shortage of housing, so that people, if they have housing as a matter of right, will end up having less housing. The reason is, for positive rights to work, such as a livable wage or a right to live in a particular house, if for those things to work, other people have to be forced to pay for or work for the provision of those goods or services. In other words, if you have a right to housing, then someone else has to go out and provide the housing for you. Someone has to build the thing. Someone has to buy the land. Someone has to maintain it, buy the insurance for it, pay off the extortioners in the property tax area for the property taxes due. There are a number of costs that go in that people would have to incur on your behalf if government simply said you have a right to it. And so no one would be very interested in providing your rights for you at their expense. They may have to work a good portion of the year for you in addition to working for themselves. And so there would be a lot less people being willing to provide those kinds of things. Any kind of right that government grants you that costs somebody else something is fraudulent and wrong on its face, whether it's the right to a certain level of health care, a certain level of education, a certain livable wage. It is evil and wicked, opposed to the Christian worldview and opposed to the vision of the Founding Fathers to force people to work on your behalf so that you get some goodies at their expense. So the answer to this question is quite simple. We should not promote such a thing being added to the Bill of Rights. The only rights we want to have and hold out are those against the government. We want to be able to hold our guns against them. We want to make sure that we have the right to assemble, to speak freely, to not be harassed by their police officers and their bureaucrats. These are rights that we hold against them, or sometimes they're called negative rights. We do not want to include any kind of positive rights that come out of this communist, Marxian, Darwinian worldview, which is so opposed and antithetical both to the Christian worldview and to the philosophy of freedom espoused by the Founding Fathers. Well, that's a mouthful, it's an earful, it's a mindful, and if you dwell on it long enough, you might just get it right, folks. And I know you can, because especially those of you who are Christians, redeemed by the blood of Christ, you have the ability to think, and we're going to help you think. And not be as gullible as we often have been, unfortunately, in this land of America. I'm running a little bit over here for a break, so we're going to go ahead and take one now on the Tyranny Response Network. And remember, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to TRN.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Warning.
Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And once again, we welcome you back into Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. So glad you've joined us here this morning. Remember, in Greenville this morning, a little bit chilly, about 30 degrees outside, only going to rise up to 49. So good day to have a light jacket along with you. Should be only a few clouds in the sky. It'll be a pretty beautiful day other than a little bit blustery early March morning. Just a reminder, if you're listening to the recorded broadcast, that's any time except 7:30 to 9 in the morning Eastern Time. You won't be able to call in to our show live, but you're welcome to send a question or comment by email to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. We'd like to welcome to the show now our first caller, who happens to be the famous Dr. Stephen Yates, who we've talked about a number of times on the show here for his great work and articles on the Christian worldview. In particular, some of the ones about dealing with political correctness, with the Microsoft support or bailout plan of the Bill Gates for the public school, and many other things that he's contributed. So we're very happy and pleased to have you on the air with us this morning, Dr. Stephen Yates. And if you don't mind, I'll just call you Stephen. We don't have to exchange doctors then. And
Stephen, it's fine.
Okay, Stephen. Well, anyway, I appreciate the call this morning. What would you like to talk about?
Well, the first thing I want to do is I wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart for reading my material on the air during the periods when I haven't been able to tune in because of my work schedule. So I've missed all of that, but I wanted to thank you for doing that because I really do appreciate it.
Now, your work schedule, you're just now taking a position at the University of South Carolina at Spartanburg. Tell us, what is it like up at the Liberal Empire in Spartanburg or the upstate University of South Carolina? Are you an island for liberty there? Are you the only pro-life libertarian on campus that you know of, or are there others?
Well, actually, there's others. We survived by keeping my head down, I think. But I do know at least 2 other people right in my own department who have similar orientations, at least in economics, that I do. We're free market-oriented, Misesian types and Christian-leaning types as well. But we kind of constitute an oasis of sanity in a sea of liberalism.
Huh.
You will see typical moan sessions about, say, the Larry Summers business up at Harvard. I assume you're familiar with that.
Sure.
Well, all the feminists blew a gasp of that, and really all he said was that it was a possibility that there's different orientations between men and women that would explain that why there are fewer women going into fields like mathematics and engineering. As I understood it, all he was talking about was a possibility that ought to be investigated by doing serious research. Hmm. He wasn't asserting this as a fact. I think that's the way they understood it. So what do they want to do? Do they just want to suppress this research?
Hmm. Yeah, that's a very interesting point. Now, you know, the feminist movement and the lesbian, the homosexual movement, these people are well-financed, well-funded people. Obviously, they don't have children generally, although there's some exceptions to that, unfortunately. They don't go to church normally and spend a great deal of money on charity, but they do pump a lot of money and time into the politicizing of their movement and trying to gain special rights for themselves. And in the university, it's really not any different. They have really made great inroads into academia, as they have into other areas as well. And I lump all of these kinds of perversions or subversions of God's principles together, whether it be feminism, lesbianism, or homosexuality, and probably I could lump in a few other things as well. These things, wouldn't you say, these are dramatically antithetical to the Christian worldview, and you've written so much about that. Maybe you can make a few comments about how its inroads are affecting the universities as well as the public schools.
Well, yes. Initially, it goes back at least as far as the Enlightenment itself and this whole idea or theme or whatever you want to call it, that we can save ourselves. Mm-hmm. But the only thing that's wrong with human nature, quote unquote, is defective institutions and faulty education, and that if we fix that, we can fix everything.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to me to be clearly where what got this whole ball rolling in the first place. And then our own time, you were right that a lot of these groups are really well organized, really well funded, and some of it is Ford Foundation money, Rockefeller Foundation money, coming from places like that. There's a poster up on the wall in the mail room of my department, Rockefeller Foundation grants that are available. All you have to do is read what some of those grants are. It's diversity, multiculturalism. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
It's coming from sources that have really deep pockets.
No question.
That's what we're up against.
Yeah, no question about it. Stephen, can you hold on during the break, and maybe we'll continue this and whatever else is on your mind?
Sure.
Okay, we'll be right back on Christian Worldview. You're listening to Dr. John Coben, and we are on the Tyranny Response Network.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN, and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS, as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals. That's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions."
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we welcome you back in this morning to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Just a reminder to listeners that the Tyranny Response Unit, that's me, Dr. John Coben, will be away from the microphone for about a week. Tomorrow we'll be having a guest host on the show, Pastor Tony Romo from the South Point Baptist Church in Pelzer, South Carolina. We'll be here hosting the show both Thursday and Friday. I hope you'll tune in, because it's certain to be an excellent broadcast with some tremendous information for those who love liberty and who are aspiring Christians as well, or those who are committed to the Christian faith as well. The following week, at least at the moment, Monday through Thursday, we hope to have other guest hosts on the air. One of them is my fellow Times Examiner columnist, Ben Graydon, who is an expert on homeschooling and has much to say about the education movement in America, or public schooling, things like that, as well as many other topics, including, I believe, even arranged marriages, of all things, which is a very interesting topic to throw in along with covenant marriage for those of you who are interested in family issues. So be sure to stay tuned to the Tyranny Response Network and Christian Worldview. Just remember that Dr. John Coben has not gone away forever. I will be back on the show March 18th. For that show, and in between them, we hope to have some excellent programming for you on Christian Worldview. We have on the line still with us Dr. Stephen Yates from University of South Carolina Upstate, who we've been talking about the inroads that have been made by lesbian, homosexual, feminist movements, and all the multiculturalism and things that go on. And he's done some excellent work, scholarly work on those areas. He also has written recently about Bill Gates' involvement in trying to prop up the public school and Bill Gates' comments about public schooling. And so we'd like to welcome you back in here, Stephen, and go ahead and share a little bit about these things.
Thanks. Yes, I did do a Times Examiner piece on Bill Gates recently throwing down the gauntlet. Probably, if it's in this week's issue or not, I can't say for sure, but Bill Gates did throw down the gauntlet. This is interesting. He says our high schools are obsolete, he calls them, and then adds, frankly, I'm terrified for our workforce of tomorrow. And he says a few things like that. Now, it is unfortunate that he's not really thinking outside the box. He really wants to continue this futile effort of trying to reform the public schools in some respects, and he outlines a number of ideas along those lines. I don't see him talking about homeschooling or private Christian schools or private Christian education networks and things like that. We now have studies that indicate that these work, and that graduates or the equivalent of high school graduates that have been homeschooled or what is it, 3-4 years ahead of their public school counterparts. Now, within the public school, I was under the impression that job skills, computer skills, technical skills, things like that, as well as behavioral modification towards political correctness, that those were the sorts of things that they were emphasizing. School to work, workforce investment, what are some other terms that are thrown around in there?
But they absolutely have not been emphasizing those things. They've been emphasizing all sorts of other things, including
education, everything except academics. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's no wonder that we're getting these kinds of results.
Yeah. Well, maybe they're good at having sex education and not very good at math. In fact, I was reading academic things in Bruce Short's book. He mentioned this thing that didn't exist when I went to the public indoctrination center, called it was a special kind of dance, freaking. That's what it was called. Could you believe that people actually do this freaking thing where boys and girls during some music lay on the floor on top of each other and squirm around, and at sometimes, as Bruce Short points out, they have head to crotch, and they're backwards on top of each other during this so-called freaking. And this apparently is very common in public schools. I guess so they're trying to practice some kind of other things they've been learning at the public school rather than things like the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. What do you know about freaking and other freaky things that they're doing at public schools?
I've heard of a few things like that going on, and it doesn't really surprise me that much. Very few things surprise me anymore these days. But it all kind of falls out of this whole Kinseyite view of sex, where one practice is really as good as another. We're talking about the Alfred C. Kinsey studies that date back over years now, but essentially those studies, also Rockefeller funded, by the way, essentially broke the ties between Judeo-Christian morality and sexual conduct. We've been going downhill ever since. And now we're getting practices like that are just becoming accepted.
Yeah. Well,
treated as normal.
Well, maybe it is normal in the vision of the public school. I mean, this isn't a godly institution, as we know, and perhaps the government school program is just succeeding in what it really wants to do. I think that's what Rush Dooney has said, isn't it? Public school is a marvelous success. It's all dependent on how you look at it.
You know, I've heard that argued. I think that's Sheldon Richmond's position, too, that in their own way they're successful because their purpose has, for decades now, been to dumb down the kids, to make little relativists and little humanists out of them, and also prepare them for the new world order.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they're certainly doing a good job of that. Well, I'll tell you what, Stephen, we really thank you for the call this morning. It's been very informative, as always, and anytime you get free again on a spring break or otherwise and can break away from classes, we hope that you'll go ahead and call back to Christian Worldview and share some of your enlightened views and understanding of things with us, or even jot us an email. I'll be happy to read it on the air. Once again, thanks a lot for calling this morning. And have a great day. We're still on Christian Worldview, and we're going to be going to a break here, and we'll be back in just a few minutes on the Tyranny Response Network.
Disinfecting the modern
Oh, we just had a computer technical difficulty, so we aren't going to be able to go to the break right now, but we're going to go ahead and hop right back into a little bit more discussion and follow-up on what we had with on what Dr. Stephen Yates has just been talking about with some problems in the government schools. This book by Bruce Short is just fantastic. Bruce Short is a graduate of Harvard Law School and has a PhD from Stanford University and was a Fulbright scholar. He's also a Southern Baptist in a denomination which one pastor said the greatest problem with the Southern Baptist denomination, the Southern Baptist pastor I was speaking to, is that 90% of Southern Baptists aren't saved. Well, that's a real problem if you're in a Southern Baptist denomination. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm not a Southern Baptist, but that's what a Southern Baptist pastor told me. Well, I'll tell you one person who is saved, or from all I can tell, is this man, Bruce Short. He's just a tremendous scholar. This book has footnotes and endnotes galore, just a tremendous amount of research done into creating this book. And we're so thankful that he did so. The Harsh Truth About Public Schools by Bruce N. Short. And anyway, we do want to take a quick break and come back. And when we do, we're going to read some excerpts from this great book, and we'll discuss it further. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
The law of non-contradiction. The same thing cannot at the same time both belong and not belong to the same object and in the same respect. Aristotle.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back again to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on the Tyranny Response Network. What a great network. What other network do you know of in South Carolina or anywhere in the country, for that matter, that is as adamant about promoting the vision of the Founding Fathers and the truths of the Bible as they relate to public policy as right here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben? If you agree, we hope you'll support the show. Go to policyofliberty.net, the homepage, and scroll down to find out how you can do your part in supporting the show, even if it's just by a small contribution or even donating some time. You know how to use a paintbrush, we could use it right now, as well as some other manual tasks. And also, we could support the show by praying for us and telling other people about the show. We have a webcast, which could accept a lot more users than currently use it. If you go down on policyofliberty.net, you scroll down the page and find the live link, you'll be able to listen to the webcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, of the Tyranny Response Network. And specifically between 7:30 and 9 Eastern Time, someone will be able to listen to Christian Worldview from their home or office anywhere in the world. Take advantage of this. Let other people know today about the webcast of the Christian Worldview program and the Tyranny Response Network. We're going to read a little bit from Bruce Short's book, The Harsh Truth About Public Schools, but we're going to just postpone that for just a minute because we have Chuck, who's called, and he's on the line with us now. And Chuck, we'd like to welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you, John. Good morning again. I wanted to call and agree with you about the rights that people try to extend these days to require positive action on the part of someone else. It does not seem right to me at all.
That would be like the right to a minimum wage or a livable wage or right to an education or right to medical care or a right to affordable housing. I've heard in Virginia, actually, it's people have a right to a working air conditioner. It's actually in legislation that if your air conditioner doesn't work, you can hold liable your landlord for violating your rights. These are all modern-day rights that people have that they can force other people to give them by they have to work or pay for someone else to have this right. Anyway, go ahead.
The closest I might come on that is a right to a high-speed internet connection. It also raises the question, what about the right to work at occupations of common right? And I think this would go back to English common law, wouldn't it? The government really doesn't have a right to restrict you from earning a living. Now, if you work for the government or you're dependent on them for government contracts, I suppose that's a different matter. You're taking a privilege, but to just work out in private industry seems to me that's a common right, and there should be any restriction on that, including a tax on the income you earn at that occupation.
Yeah, and I was just going to say that I couldn't agree more. The tax on income is extortion and violates the fundamental rights that human beings have, and as American citizens have, to work and earn their keep as God has required them to do in the Scriptures. The tax income effectively says you have to work for me a certain months out of the year. That is the federal government or the state government, and the rest of the year you can keep what you need for your family. And that's just wickedness. It's perversion and it's wrong. It needs to be repealed. And those who hold to a Christian worldview, I don't think in good conscience can hold to an income tax theoretically, and certainly cannot hold to the income tax as it's enforced by the despicable and evil, nefarious Internal Revenue Service and all their abusive policies.
Well, it sounds like we're on the same page there. Enjoying your show. Keep it up.
Okay, Chuck. Really appreciate the call again this morning, and do call in again. Thanks for the call.
Okay, goodbye.
Well, I know that's a mouthful. Again, some of you may be startled by that, thinking, well, Dr. Coben, what would we do in America if we didn't have an income tax? I mean, can you imagine things would fall apart. Look at our society. It would end as we know it. We would go down the drain. We need to have taxes. I can tell who's been to the public school, by the way, and just by their comments about public policy, or, unfortunately, some people who've gone to Christian schools, even Christian schools locally here, who are infested with a public school and secular humanist doctrine, unfortunately. Folks, we do not need an income tax in order for America to operate. Did you know that there was no federal income tax before 1913? And as a matter of fact, it was not imposed until after the New Deal. That's when Franklin Delano Roosevelt, about 50 or 60 years ago, there was no widespread income tax. The country got along just fine. In fact, it really boomed and prospered. You know what? And they did it without government regulation and programs. There was no EPA. There was no Department of Education, Department of Transportation, Department of Energy, or departments of nonsense of any kind, including Homeland Security. These things are used to take away our rights and cause us much grief in society. They do not bring us more liberty. And as a matter of fact, the programs which they offer are usually just nooses that are used to hang us. They make our lives worse, not better. We just don't know any different, so we assume that without government, society would not run well. It's simply not true, folks. Here I am getting on my soapbox again. Some people might say I'm on a soapbox every morning. Well, I can't say that I deny that. I do enjoy it. I enjoy trying to help people think better. That's our job here at Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. We've come up against a quick break here. And we appreciate the calls. Remember to call in 864-201-6955. If you want to talk about any of these issues this morning, be happy to do so. 864-201-6955 or questions by or comments by email to questions@policyofliberty.net. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN.
Piece of Palace, guaranteed hot in 30 minutes or it's free. This is Mary. May I take your order?
Hi, Mary. Yes, I'd like to order.
Is this Mr. Kelly?
Yes.
Thank you for calling again, sir. I share your national identification number as 610-204-9998-45-54610. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. I see you live at 736 Montrose Court, but you're calling from your cell phone. Are you at home?
I'm just leaving work, but I'm...
Oh, we can deliver to Bob's Auto Supply. That's at 175 Lincoln Avenue, yes?
No, I'm on my way home. How do you know all this stuff?
We just got wired into the system, sir.
Oh, well, I'd like to order a couple of your double meat special pizzas.
Sure thing. There'll be a new $20 charge for those, sir.
What do you mean?
Sir, the system shows me that your medical records indicate that you have high blood pressure and extremely high cholesterol. Luckily, we have a new agreement with your national health care provider that allows us to sell you double meat pies as long as you agree to waive all future claims of liability.
What?
Do you agree, sir? You can sign the form when we deliver, but there is a charge for processing. The total is $67 even.
$67?
Well, that includes the delivery surcharge of $15 to cover the added risk to our driver of traveling through an orange zone.
I live in an orange zone?
Now you do. Looks like there was another robbery on Montrose yesterday. You could save $48 if you ordered our special Sprout Submarine Combo and picked it up yourself. Comes with tofu sticks. Those are very tasty, sir. Good value, too.
But I want double meat.
Well, I'm sure you can afford the $67, then. You just bought those tickets to Hawaii. They weren't cheap, eh? Oh, but I see you checked out the budget beach bum at the library last week. Up to you, sir.
All right. I'll get the Sprout subs.
Good choice, sir. Gotta watch that waist if you're hitting the beach, eh? 42 inches. Wow. Man, I'd say tofu and sprouts is, like, required.
That's how much?
Just between you and me, there's a $3 off coupon in this month's Total Men's Fitness magazine. Your wife Betty subscribes to that, right? Anyhow, clip that and it's $19.99 even. Whoa, looks like you maxed out on all your credit cards. Bring cash, okay?
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children,
Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back into Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben, the Tyranny Response Unit, inviting you to go to policyofliberty.net and find out how you can support the show, listen to recorded broadcasts, or listen live over the internet. You'll also find books and articles there by me, Dr. John Coben, the Tyranny Response Unit, as well as quote famous quotations for liberty. We've just got hundreds of wonderful quotations from the Founding Fathers and other people about free markets, liberty, and support of property, private property rights, things like that. You'll also find a wealth of information in terms of other links to free market institutions, homeschooling institutions, creation studies institutions on the policyofliberty.net webpage, and we do hope that you'll go there soon. Visit the great website and support TRN and the Christian Worldview program. Well, student ID badges raise privacy questions. Fox News reports in a morning story by Kelly Vlaus. Washington, a pilot program that used radio frequency ID badges to take attendance at a small California school may have failed. But the founder of the company that provided the technology says this isn't the end of what could be a forward trend in American schools. Is anything forward in American schools? I mean, they use more money and it continue to go down the drain. There's nothing forward about it unless you count literally going down the drain as a forward trend. But at any rate, that's what the story says. It's a forward trend, putting radio badges on their kids now. We have gotten a lot of interest from other school districts because of the media and from other industries too, said Doug Allers, a partner of Incom Corporation. The company worked with Britton Elementary School in Sutter, California in January to deploy badges fashioned with radio frequency identification technology to help attendance for the school's 7th and 8th graders. Every child in the school, grades kindergarten through 12th, received an ID badge with a tiny tag carrying the RFID technology, which was activated only to take attendance when the older children entered their classroom. No, they would never use it for anything else, of course not, at least not this month. Maybe next month they would expand somewhere else. The reader, a device mounted at the door, would read the student's assigned number contained in the tag and register the child's presence that day, said Allers, who is a teacher at the high school in Sutter. The idea came from Michael Dobson, a former student of Sutter Schools, who was 21 years old when he co-founded Incom 2 years ago. He knew teachers struggled with attendance. They do? What in the world does that mean? They struggled with attendance. They don't know how to take attendance? Are they that stupid at the Christian at the public school now they can't even take attendance? Anyway, I'll let that pass by. He knew that teachers struggled with attendance, and he knew how easy it was for students to get around it. Well, I won't read the rest of that story, but we'll be following that sort of stuff closely here. We always like to keep an eye at what's going on at the whacked-out public school, and here they are using student ID badges with radio transmitters to check attendance, crazy as it may sound. Well, speaking of the public school and its myriad problems, Bruce Short, in his book, The Harsh Truth About Public Schools, on page 161, it was talking about various difficulties that that school districts have had in trying to keep up academic performance. And in order to keep up academic performance, they've been modifying severely the SAT exam as well as the other pre-graduation exams called TIERS, TIERS, and the NAEP, or NAEP, exams. They've not been able to prove that their performance has been good, and so what they've been doing is instead of allowing people to pass with 75%, they've moved to 65%, and then they moved the passing percentage down to 55%. So they keep lowering it, and they keep reducing the number of questions that students have to complete during an hour or 2 hours, whatever long the test is, in order to get more people passing. They're also found different devious ways to keep the scores up and promote their public education successes, supposed successes, by removing people with disabilities from testing. And all of a sudden, some school districts before the test have disqualified up to 60 or 70% of students eligible to take the test because they've been considered disabled and incapable of taking the test, and thereby only allowing the smartest ones of the public school students to take it and show that the performance in the public school is improving overall. Well, this kind of lunacy happens all the time. You can't believe any statistic you hear about the public school in terms of performance because it's all been fabricated. It's a bunch of fraudulent lies, and we here on the Tyranny Response Network are here to expose those stupid those lies. And Bruce Short says, he says, we began our discussion of the dishonesty of the education industry by looking at what's been done with the SAT, the Lake-Wobegon effect, and the research on how scores are being deceptively inflated in both the TEERS test and the NAEP. We looked at two concrete examples at the state level showing how Texas and North Carolina educrats have gone about deceiving parents and the public concerning how government schools are doing. Finally, we have tried to put a face on the statistics by providing some examples of what practices reflected and the systematic data look like on the ground, that is, in schools and in the classroom. To some, it may be hard to believe the lengths to which the education industry will go to evade being held accountable for its performance. As will be pointed out in Chapter 5, however, the motivation for evading accountability becomes clearer once you understand that in reality, the prime concerns of the education industry are who gets how much of the roughly $500 billion spent on K-12 education each year and what ideological agendas government schools will serve. It is also obvious spending $500 billion or so annually cultivates a lot of friends. That is why local, state, and national media, government agencies, colleges and universities, and other institutions, for the most part, simply find it expedient to ignore the proverbial elephant in the living room of the education industry's corruption of educational indicators in children, a scandal that dwarfs the business accounting scandals of recent years. Doubtless Enron's executives and accountants would have been profoundly grateful if their corruption of public accounting indicators had enjoyed a similar lack of sustained scrutiny and real accountability. A modest proposal, he says, because of the technical nature of the testing controversy and the high stakes of the education industry faces when standardizing testing seeks to hold it accountable, the education industry never lacks for excuses, apologists, or explanations for why evidence of failure is really evidence of success. To cut through the smog, here's a modest proposal for settling how government school students are doing academically. 1. For the next two administrations of the SAT, give college-bound seniors versions of the tests used in the 1960s under precisely the same rules relating to administration of the test and accommodations used then, and under strict security provided by third-party administrators. And 2. Require every standardized achievement test given in grades K-12 to be strictly administered by third parties rather than teachers and school administrators, as is currently the case, and under strict rules designed by third parties limiting exclusions. Rest assured, he says, there won't be any takers. They don't want you to know. And it is the truth, folks. These school officials do not want you to know how badly they are blowing it in terms of academic performance. Bruce Short has hit the nail right on the head. Time to wake up and listen to him. If you got your kids in the public school, get them out. Don't believe the lies that they tell you about these public schools not affecting your kids and that the performance is still good and it could never happen here in the South and South Carolina or wherever you live. It can happen there, here, or anywhere, and it will. The public school is dumbing down the kids of this nation and promoting things that are antithetical to both the Christian worldview and the vision of the founding fathers in this great nation of America. Well, we've come up against another break here at Christian Worldview, and we'll be right back.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions."
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
We just want to give one more plug for our friends at the Libertarian Party who emailed us to let us know, "Fellow Libertarian, you are invited to attend the monthly business meeting of the Greenville County Libertarian Party and the Upstate Libertarian Society this Thursday, March 10, 2005, from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Prime Sirloin Restaurant on Woodruff Road in Greenville. We hope to see you there." Lee Ott, the chairman. Tell Lee when you're there, or Chuck, or whoever else might be there from the Libertarian Party, that you heard about them on TRN, on Christian Worldview. We really appreciate their financial support, their generosity of time and effort that they've put into making TRN the success that it is already and the greater success that it will be in the future. So if you have a chance to go out just for even for a few minutes, stop in at the Prime Sirloin at Woodruff Road tomorrow night, March 10th, from 6:30 to 10 p.m. March 10th, important day in the Tyranny Response Unit's life because that happens to be his birthday. And be 42 years old or young, depending on how you look at it, tomorrow. Won't be here, but Pastor Tony Romo will be sitting behind this chair, filling the mic, and talking to you specifically, pastors and Christians, about the importance of supporting the Tyranny Response Network and especially this show, Christian Worldview, as an integral part, I should say, that is often missing from Sunday school and other church teaching programs here in upstate South Carolina and, for that matter, around the country and around the world. Well, I didn't want to pass up one more opportunity to read something more from Bruce Short's book, The Harsh Truth About Public Schools. It's on the top of my reading list, and as I'm taking my trip and on the plane, I hope to have this finished by the time I get back next week. Again, I'll be gone the entire next week. The broadcast will probably not be recorded and uploaded to the webpage, so this is the only recording you'll be hearing for the next week if you're listening to the recorded show. But March 18th, there should be a new one. It's March 9th today, so March 18th, there should be a new one uploaded. Be sure to tune in and not forget about listening to the recordings because of the week's pause. At any rate, Bruce Short, in Chapter 4, which he entitles The Blackboard Jungle, and under that writes Proverbs 4:19, "The way of the wicked is darkness," says the following: "Do you avoid places at work because you are afraid of being beaten up? Does your employer want to drug you to improve your performance and make you easier to manage? I bet some liberals would like to drug me sometimes. They're not going to do it. Not by any voluntary means, at any rate. They're going to have to suffer as I begin to expose their wicked plans and their plots. Anyway, will your employer suspend you from your job if he discovers you have my doll in your purse? You are probably thinking that these questions are absurd and that you wouldn't tolerate working in such a place. Good. But if these conditions are unacceptable to adults, why would the overwhelming majority of Christian parents force their children to spend the equivalent of a work day 5 days a week in a place where they are subjected to these problems? And worse, let's take a brief look at government schools from a child's point of view. What does having to attend a government school look like from the perspective of the Christian child, or any child for that matter? For those who can't remember, school dominates a child's daily life like no other institution. In the course of 12 years, the average child is likely to spend well over 15,000 hours in school, traveling to and from school, doing homework, and participating in school activities before and after school. Moreover, every child knows that teachers and administrators have an enormous influence over his future through grades, recommendations, and other information that accumulate and pass on. Small wonder that reformers of all stripes have recognized that public schools are the Archimedean point for transforming a society through the extraordinary influence they exert over the minds and characters of children. Today, government schools like prisons seek comprehensive control over their charges, in part to suppress violence and disorder, and in part because those who control government schools see themselves as agents of social change. In a very real sense, children are at the bottom of the government school food chain. They are not the actors, but the acted upon. They are compelled to be there, and they have nearly nothing to say other than over the terms or conditions of their institutionalization. A child's concerns about attending a government school today are likely to be mundane and personal. Am I safe? Does the school treat me fairly? Is it a hostile place? Many children in government schools live with these worries every day. After taking a look at some of the conditions they confront daily in government schools, ask yourself whether these burdens are properly borne by our children. And he has a list of things in this chapter that he goes on to discuss that children actually face. 1940, children had to face talking out of turn. In 1990, they face assault. In 1940, the teachers were concerned about them chewing gum in class. Now in 1990, they're concerned about robbery, being robbed. 1940, they were reprimanded for making noise in class. Now children are afflicted with drug abuse. 1940, they're running in the halls was a main problem. Now in 1990, alcohol abuse is the main problem, one of the main problems. 1940, cutting in line was considered wrong and should be stopped. Now children wrestle with pregnancy. Premarital pregnancies. 1940, there were dress code violations. Now children suffer with friends who commit suicide. All in Bruce Short's book, folks. Encourage you to get it. Read it cover to cover. And after you do, you'll never have your kids back into public school again. What a tragedy. This government school is our greatest enemy in the land. It's the thing that's robbed us of our rights and destroying our Christian values. It is our public enemy number one. Don't be misled, folks. If you're participating in the public school, stop. Don't disqualify yourself from doing good by participating with what is evil. And secondly, if you've got your kids there, get them out as fast as you can. This is Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview. We're coming up with a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. The final 10 minutes of this third day of the 10th week of the Tyranny Response Network. So glad you're listening today and supporting the show. Where else do you hear a talk like this, folks? Not too many places. We're truly a different station, and we're glad to be such. One of our research staff had sent me an article from myway.com. China enacts tough anti-secession law. March 8, 2005, Elaine Kurtenbach reports through the Associated Press in Beijing. China unveiled a law Tuesday authorizing an attack if Taiwan moves towards formal independence, increasing pressure on the self-rule island while warning other countries not to interfere. The United States said Beijing should reconsider. Well, remember, folks, we have to be cautious about this because our great sellout, the pseudo-conservative neocon George W. Bush, had in his cabinet Colin Powell, who just said that, look, it's not so bad after all. Taiwan should just go back and be part of mainland China. They shouldn't be independent. Well, this is the way liberals think because they like Marxism. They don't think communism's all that bad. It just had a rough start. In reality, that's the worldview we should adopt, the Marxian communist kind of view. Well, folks, I'm telling you what, we as Christians need to support Taiwan and the Taiwanese in their efforts to be free of the scumbags and those who destroy life under Mao Zedong and the communists in China. This is not a good system, and it's not okay. It can't be whitewashed or cleansed. It has to be completely reformed, and our heart goes out to all the millions and millions of people that suffer in mainland China on account of these evil dictators and the communist regime that runs that place. So here we have, again, yet another story about China acting an anti-secession law. They're going to attack Taiwan if they try to ratify their constitution and declare independence completely from the mainland. My researchers have highlighted a few pieces of the article. Let's read through a few things here and there. The proposed anti-secession law, read out for the first time before the ceremonial National People's Congress, does not specify what actions invite a Chinese attack. Probably anything that tickles their fancy. The White House said China should reconsider passage of the law. They should do more than that, Bush. You should go and tell them, mind your own business, you commie swine. You guys have destroyed enough people's lives. The Taiwanese are doing fabulously well and succeeding on account of free markets and the principles of liberty. Leave them alone. The article goes on to say later on, mainland lawmakers immediately expressed support for the anti-secession measure, which is sure to be passed when they vote March 14th. The Congress routinely approves all legislation already decided by the Communist Party. Duh. I guess what would happen if they didn't? Chinese officials say the law was prompted in part by Taiwanese President Chen Shui-bian's plan for a referendum on the new constitution for the island that Beijing worries might include a declaration of independence. Don't want any declaration of independence. That would be dangerous and terrible. Oh, can't even read our own declaration of independence in the government school system anymore because of the same reason the Marxian influences in our modern day do not like the idea of secession or declaring one's independence. It would be wonderful, as far as I'm concerned here at the Tyranny Response Network and all of us, I think, at the network, if we could secede from the evil state which plagues us here in America. We are pro-secession, not advocating it right now. I don't think we're ready to do so, but if it could be done, believe me, it should be done. There's nothing better than getting away from the tyrants in any way possible. And as Americans, we have the right to secede. We should have that right. It was nothing was settled in 1865. Other than that, we were beaten down by a bunch of thugs when we tried to escape. When I say we, I'm using the royal we. Obviously, my ancestors came to this great nation after the war between the states, the war of northern aggression. But being raised in the true South, that is Southern California, I came to realize that my true heritage is with the Southern people. As a true Southerner, we are devoted to the cause and the principles that the South had fought for. And don't tell me that was slavery either, by the way. Only 4.8% of all whites owned slaves in the South. They were fighting for liberty, including blacks fighting against, who owned other blacks as slaves, were fighting the northern aggressors. That's what it was about, folks. It was not about promoting the institution of slavery. That was already going to die out on its own. What we're promoting was not only their states' rights, but their rights to be independent and free and not be put upon and by an overbearing and overburdensome federal government and dictator that Abraham Lincoln was. Lincoln, who was truly America's Stalin. Yes, I've said the word Abraham Lincoln, the name Abraham Lincoln, in the same breath with Stalin. And I could also put Hitler, Idi Amin, Pol Pot, Fidel Castro, name a few other tyrants that deserve are getting their just reward now in hell, most likely, as all tyrants deserve. At any rate, well, I've run again close to the end of the show. I did want to mention this article, these set of articles I'm working on once again before we close, since I said I would earlier and just didn't have a chance to get to it with all the great callers and so forth. Christian Views on Rebellion. Christian Views on Rebellion articles will start on March 23rd in the Times Examiner. They're already available in draft form on the webpage. I encourage you to go there and look at them, and they will run all the way through April the 20th. Is it okay to rebel against the civil authority? All Christians say yes. Under some circumstances, there is some reason to rebel. They tell you to stop preaching the gospel, to bow down to a large golden statue or any other idol, I suppose. And some would go even further than that. If they tell you to abort every child after one, as they do in mainland China under most circumstances, then you can rebel against the state. But does rebellion go further? And specifically, were the American founders in sin? And not just the American founders, but a large portion of the population, were they in sin when they refused to comply with the king's edicts? Were they sinning when they did this? I don't think so. Other Christians do. Other people today in modern America believe that Christians sinned when they revolted against King George. Here's just one quick example, and then we're going to have to wrap up the show. On July 9, 1772, the British revenue cutter Gaspee ran aground near Providence, Rhode Island. The hated and feared anti-smuggler Lieutenant Duddingson, was put ashore along with his crew, and the Gaspee was burned up by a group of patriots led by Abraham Whipple. Rhode Island Chief Justice Stephen Hopkins refused to bring the men to justice. In 1773, dozens of committees of correspondence, political communication conduits that spread news that fostered the revolutionary movement, had been formed in Massachusetts and other places, including Virginia and the Carolinas. The groups actively utilized lively political media and printed materials to incite a spirit of rebellion to the king, and the British governors often viewed their actions as treasonous. That's just a piece out of the draft I've written. Think about that, folks. This is before we declared independence. Everybody's still under the king. They have no constitutional rights. They are slaves in a feudal system, and they rebel. And they are all God-fearing, Bible-believing Christians, and they are supported by the vast majority of Christians in their society to the extent that no one turns them in or prosecutes them. Were they all backslidden? Were they all in sin? Or is the church today in some way in sin, because we're not revolting against the same kind of tyranny which we face? I'll leave that open question for you for when I get back. Remember, I'll be back next week, March 18th, right here on Christian Worldview. Until then, this is Dr. John Coben signing off and hoping that you'll join Pastor Tony Romo and the following week Ben Graydon, as they are hosting Christian Worldview for me in my absence. Until then, God bless you, and see you next week.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.